Yeah, maybe we should. Maybe we should at 5 p.m. anyway.
Shall we?
Okay.
Okay, can we give you 30 seconds to start the call for
okay,
you?
Okay,
thanks a lot. Gentlemen, welcome to the City Conference Call. Our chairperson today is Mr. Bob Leung. Mr. Leung, please begin your call and I'll be standing by. Thank you.
Hi, welcome to our call today. We're pretty pleased to have Mr. David Lab, one of the independent directors at Hong Kong Exchange, with us today to obviously discuss his view as well as the factual situation for the government's action in acquiring stocks in Hong Kong Exchange. On the background, we want to highlight that Hong Kong Exchange Board, half of the members actually appointed by the government as well as the independent chairman, and Mr. Webb is one of the elected non-appointed or elected directors for Hong Kong Exchange. Shall I pass this sort of the discussion to Mr. Webb, sort of explaining the situation, what has happened, how the board of Hong Kong Exchange has been informed so far, and maybe we'll open the floor up that for Q&A. Thanks.
Hi.
I'll pass it to you then, David.
Hi, good afternoon, everyone. I just want to make clear I'm speaking on this call not on behalf of HKEX, but as an independent director of it. I do feel that independent directors of all listed companies have a duty to communicate with shareholders when they want to communicate, as long as it's not breaking any rules and we're not in a closed period, which we're not right now. So really I'm here to answer any questions that you may have about the situation. Let me just briefly outline the legal aspects of the structure for those who are not fully aware of it. After the exchanges were demutualized in 2000 and listed on the stock exchange, the structure was very carefully established by prior to the listing by the government through the Securities and Futures Ordinance. And this structure includes the fact that shareholders can only elect 6 out of the 13 directors. It used to be 6 out of 15 or 8. It was always a minority anyway. The other 7 are appointed directly or indirectly by the government. Secondly, the Securities and Futures Commission can prevent anyone from holding more than 5% of the shares of HKEX. Their consent is needed after consulting the financial secretary. If that consent is not obtained and someone just buys the shares anyway, then they can be legally prevented from voting them in any shareholders' meeting. Thirdly, even if a group of shareholders with each with less than 5% were to coordinate in some kind of campaign for change in HKEX, they couldn't amend any of the articles of association because changes to those articles also require the approval of the SFC. So in my view, the company was already has always been a government-controlled company, it's bid-proof, so I don't think that buying 5.9% makes any difference to that. I've written about these issues in some detail on my website yesterday night, which I encourage you to look at offline carefully. Hopefully that was fairly clear, but perhaps we can take any questions from there.
Thank you. We will now poll for questions. If you'd like to register for questions, please press the number one key on your telephone touchpad. Thank you. Thank you. Our first question comes from Mr. Matthew Mo. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, David.
Hi.
I read through your newsletter. I understand the issue you kind of like discussed already, which I agree. But, you know, if you have to make a educational guess, what do you think the intention is behind, lifting that stick to 5.8% by the government?
Well, as I say, I don't believe it's necessary to hold any shares for takeover protection, and even if you thought that it was, you would need a lot more than 5.9%. Secondly, sources have suggested in the media that It might be to do with having some say over future transactions by HKEX, whether they would be cross listings with the mainland or even some kind of M&A. Again, 5.9% is only a marginal vote, so unless the proposal was marginally bad and that was enough to get it through, it wouldn't have any impact. The shareholders, I'm sure, would support anything that was in their best interests and HKEX, and if it was blatantly against their best interests, then they would vote it down, and you would need a lot more than 5.9% to change that. So, that's not a scenario that I find plausible either, and the only plausible one, which again seems to me like overkill, is that they might want to remove some of the more independent directors from the board in the next elections over the next 2 or 3 years. I'm not up for re-election until 2009, by the way. But if they were to do that, I think they would need a lot more votes than they bought, given the majority that I received last time in support from the investing public. So, I think that we have very productive and dynamic discussions within the boardroom, and, I always try to bring value to the table. But at the end of the day, if the government doesn't agree with those ideas, then they get what they want through their majority control of the board, and no one should be under any illusions that this is a company that is in the market for corporate control, because I think it's already controlled by the government.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I just wonder, like you say, all these issues you discussed in your website already. I just wonder, if you have to think something additional on top of the 3 points you mentioned, whether there's anything else you think of.
Well, they haven't said how much they want to own or whether how quickly they want to buy it or what, which leaves the market in a great deal of uncertainty. The other thing that they have said, though, is that they don't think they're bound by the Securities and Futures Ordinance. And this is a point that they have asserted before, and it's never been challenged in court. But if they're not bound by the ordinance, then Friday's disclosure was voluntary, and they call it voluntary in their letter. They may or may not choose to tell us about future transactions, purchases or sales in the stock. Now, that creates a great deal of uncertainty and underlines again that you can't claim to have a level playing field in the Hong Kong market and then exempt yourself as the second biggest investor in the market. The largest investor, of course, is the mainland government, but after that it's now the Hong Kong government. And looking at the broader issue, I estimate that the exchange fund holds a portfolio worth about $150 billion as of Friday in Hong Kong equities, and that would translate to about 3.2% of the free float of each member of the Hang Seng Index, apart from HSBC, which is cap-weighted.
Right. Okay. If that's the case, then they might have set a bad example, I suppose.
Well, we'll have to wait and see how this pans out. It's a strange situation to be in. I think it does increase the conflict of interest by the government-appointed directors on the board.
Sure.
I think that the independent tag should have been removed from them some time ago, but certainly now that the government clearly owns more than 5% of the company, it's a bit unreasonable to call the people they appoint independent. Mm. And that would leave a company with 6 independent directors out of 13.
Okay. Thank you, David.
Okay.
Thank you once again. That is number one to register for a question. Thank you. Once again, that is number one to register for a question. Thank you.
Please enter the phone number you wish to dial, followed by the pound or hash sign, or press star to cancel. Originator dial out has been
Once again, that is number one to register for question. Thank you. Bob, your line is open. Please go ahead with your question. Thank you.
Hi, David. This is Bob here from Citigroup. Just wanting to ask one question regarding the government's action. I mean, should the government not have been more morally responsible with this action by first suspending or at least require the board to sort of let them know that they are interested in purchasing stocks and expanding the stock, making the announcement that they should be, they are now finding Hong Kong Exchange as a strategic asset, making some sort of a general sort of offer to the shareholders out there and taking the stock that way. Of course, you might say investor don't generally make investment decisions like that, but given the government also have that conflict of interest where they, as you say, have control of the board and, in a sense, set the rules for Hong Kong Exchange to operate as well, wouldn't there be significant conflict of interest?
Well, I think I mean, a short answer to the first part is no. I don't think they should have given us any advance notice of their purchase, but I don't think the government should be buying equities in Hong Kong, period. They never did until 1998. They held overseas equities through the exchange fund, but the exchange fund had a zero weighting in Hong Kong equities to avoid these conflicts of interest. Now, when you are a government and you make legislation and you make regulation and taxation, then you and also when you sell land to the market, then you have a conflict of interest if you invest in the companies which are on the other side of those transactions. In HKX's case, any changes to our tariffs have to be approved by the SFC. So on the one hand, the SFC seeks to keep our tariffs reasonable and minimal so that we can operate an efficient market with low transaction costs. On the other hand, as a shareholder, you would like HKX to get the maximum possible profit from the market. Similarly, holding a stake in the two power companies, Hong Kong Electric and CLP, which they now do through the and have done since 1998 through the exchange fund, puts them into a conflict of interest when they're asking the power companies to reduce their profitability under the provision of the scheme of control, which is expiring in a couple of years' time. So, you know, I could go on like that. There are numerous conflicts with virtually every company in the index except the ones that don't do any business here.
Thank you. Once again, that is number one to register for a question. Thank you. Once again, that is number one to register for a question.
Seems like I've answered all the questions.
Mr. Webb, there seems to be no further question at this point in time.
Okay.
Thanks a lot for participating in the call. The result of this call will be recorded and can be accessed and replayed. Thanks a lot for dialing in.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you for your participation.